morning. Welcome to this space of worship here at First Unitarian Church. Whether this is your first time or you are a seasoned comer to First Street, we are so happy and thankful that you are here. So welcome. Please open in your blue Mennonite hymnals to page 46.
And please rise in body or in spirit.
Facebook, you will see the pictures of my fruits and vegetables. I had no idea what I was getting into because I had so little experience of gardening, except for the understanding that you put seeds in the ground and you water them and then you get to eat them when they have grown. I soon learned that there was quite a lot more to it than that. But this was an incredibly inspiring and strenuous time for me. As I weeded the garden and created the Junebug Massacre of 2016, as I watered and tended and cared for my garden, I realized that I was not only working in the soil of my garden, the soil at AMDS, I was working on myself. And this space, this garden plot, became a sacred space for me. This spring of 2016 was a kind of a difficult time in my life. My entire identity at AMDS changed. I was originally a student and I became a full-time employee. Many of my friends started serious relationships, friends who I had spent most of my time with. They were busy and I felt lonely and left behind. And I became quite depressed and didn't really know what to do. And so this summer, I decided to distract myself with the garden. And I realized that I was soon up a certain creek without a certain propulsion device. But over the course of the summer and even now, I felt myself drawn out to my garden. And there, while I cleaned out the weeds and I removed the bugs and I gave life-giving water to my plants, I realized that God was also doing the same in my garden. When I needed something to make me feel useful, my garden was there. When I was lonely and needed a friend to be with, my garden called to me. And there I realized that I could commune with the divine and work on myself and work with God through that. God and I worked through some serious compost this summer. And as I welcome you to this space of worship, this space of gardening within ourselves and our community, I want to say welcome. And may this be a space where we all feel like gardeners, communing with the divine within the soil, within our church. Join us in Sing the Journey, the Green Hymnal, page 12.
Let's sing the first verse in Portuguese, as it's written, and then under it in English, and then we'll sing verse 5 in English, which is at the bottom of the page. So 1, 1, and 5. And let's stand. Let's worry.
Thank you.
Church, join with me in this time of confession. May we prepare ourselves with a deep breath and a centering into this time. God, we confess that we have filled your organic and beautiful world with chemicals designed only to kill and destroy, and we have been surprised that your world has not responded well to that. We confess that as we tend our gardens, both lowercase for ourselves and uppercase for the church, there have been plants that were created by you, and though they are useful, nutritious, and even delicious, we have labeled them as weeds and said that they are not welcome in our gardens. They are only going to be uprooted and thrown onto the burn pile. At times we see their presence, and though we may not pull them, we are not happy that they are there. We recognize that they may have a purpose, but couldn't they fulfill that purpose somewhere other than our garden? God, we confess that at times we know we should be watering, tending, harvesting, but God, we are so busy. Our lives are filled to the brim with things to do, with responsibilities, with so many things, and the fruits of our labor sometimes rot in our gardens. God, we confess that we have put you in a box and insisted that that box is up. And God, we sometimes forget that you are also down. You are within the soil that roots us and gives us a place to hold on to. You are in the air that provides us with oxygen to breathe. You are in the water that nourishes our thirst and quenches our need. You are in the food that we eat that gives us energy. God, you are all around us, and we confess that sometimes we forget that. And yet, church, please hear these words of assurance and stand with me. God, the divine gardener, works in our gardens every day. God tends and waters and provides food and nourishment for our lives, both spiritual and physical. And the divine gardener is always looking over us. May we remind each other of that by sharing the peace of Christ, who God sent to be among us on this earth, by saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," and responding,
"And also with you."
Y Jesús sanó a muchos que sufrían,
de diversas enfermedades y también expulsó a muchos demonios, aunque no les dejaba hablar porque lo conocían.
In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to the deserted place and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons.
Muy de la mañana, cuando todavía estaba muy oscuro, Jesús se levantó y se fue a un lugar apartado para orar. Simón y los que estaban con él comenzaron a buscarlo. Y cuando lo encontraron, le dijeron, "Todos te están buscando." Él les dijo, "Vayamos a aldeas vecinas para que también allí predique, porque para esto he venido." Y Jesús recurrió toda la aldea, predicaba en las sinagogas y expulsaba demonios.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios.
This morning, Pastor Francis will be facilitating our time of sharing testimonies and reflections, so let us pray for this time. God of spontaneity and moving spirit, thank you for being in this place. Be with us as we listen to these stories of peace and testimony, as we hear the words that you have laid on our hearts to share with each other. God, make yourself known in this space and help us to know that we are not alone.
In this first chapter of Mark, we see Jesus very engaged in the world. He's healing and teaching, and we can only imagine the intensity of his days, serving the crowds, for people reach for him, need him, for others are suspicious and some are hostile, looking for an opportunity to sabotage his teaching. Jesus had very full days from morning to night. But Jesus knew what was needed to sustain his work. The scripture tells us that in the morning when it was dark, he went out to a quiet place to pray. And so in some ways, this morning, this unexpected space, gives us a place to reflect on our own journeys and ask, where have we encountered God? Where have we particularly encountered God in our walk with peace? Jesus went forth after that time, proclaiming the message to the synagogues, casting out demons, and wherever he went. So on this Peace Sunday, we invite you to share formative experiences in ministry, or perhaps reflections that you are pondering and turning around in your head and would bring to this your congregation, the body of Christ. So Brenda Ishier is ready with the microphone, and I would invite you in this space of restoration and renewal with your church family to be prepared to share. Raise your hand and Brenda will bring you the microphone.
My name is Elena. This is a very simple story, but it's a story about being a neighbor. When we first moved into the house on Dedekind Avenue, at the back of our yard, there was another yard that was fenced in, and there was a big dog that lived there. His dog's name was Bully. And Bully was short for Big Bully. And Bully lived up to his name. He always threw himself against the fence when we went into the backyard. And it was tiny, he was big, and he was Bully. And so our grandchildren were afraid to come to the garden. We played ball back there. his job was very difficult, and I complained to our family, I complained to my friends at church, to my relatives, about how terrible his job was. One day, Alan, my husband, said to me, maybe we should pray about this. And we discussed that, and we thought, well, maybe we should talk to the woman who lives there. We didn't know who she was. So I said, okay, I'll pray, and you go.
My name is Scott Hamilton, and just 4 days ago, the gentleman I was living with threw me out. He got too physical. I'm facing right now pancreatitis. Couldn't stay in the hospital. I got too afraid to get walked out. They admitted me back in twice this 4 days ago. I'm living now with a lady called Dot Cropper, and she put me into a hold. It took 10 minutes after I walked out of the house and had a place to stay. I'm still pretty hairy yet. I'm trying to make it really, it's all painful with me right now. I'm terrified of the hospital and even staying overnight. They don't bring too much success, but I think the medication I need. My testosterone level is out of control, way over the 80s. So, nurse called the day before yesterday, said, no. Back in, but I'm still afraid.
Thanks, Dot, for her presence among us as a peacemaker. And we'll welcome you. And Scott, we continue to hold you in prayer for healing.
Well, Ellen, this is your voice. But Eleanor, if you ever drink Snapple and look in the lips of the Snapple, it has some words that you never heard. So I opened this bottle of Snapple recently and looked, and inside the cover it said, "Dogs understand over 100 words." You must have used the right words. Anyway. Today I would like to celebrate God in the midst of a total disaster. First of all, I should say that all of you are welcome to my 90th birthday celebration that my family is preparing for me on Saturday. They gave me some invitations to put in the church bulletins, mailboxes, but they didn't give me enough. So I posted one on the bulletin board by the back door. You see a picture of me on my key car when I was 3 years old. That's part of the invitation to you. And it's not a gift thing. It's just a simple common being PCK birthday. And it's at the Hubbard Hills But this is my, so my family is coming from Illinois, from Georgia, from Oklahoma, and they're planning to sleep. They're bringing sleeping bags, sleep on the floor in my basement, and in all my beds, and everywhere. And yesterday, Friday afternoon, my son John and Phyllis came to order the birthday cake. Well, in the process, Phyllis went to the basement and discovered my basement is full of it. And so, they moved all the furniture off of the carpet onto the tile floor. I called over Hill and presented my problem, and they said, "Well, we have several people ahead of you, but we'll look after this." Yeah, well, all day long happened and nothing happened. But John and Phyllis moved all this furniture, turned it upside down, washed the legs with Clorox because it was beginning to get moldy, and brought upstairs, and they carried the rag rugs outside to drip off my chairs, and so there they dripped all day. They took the bedspreads and the blankets and brought them up and washed them and put them in the dryer. And then after all day of dripping, then they brought the rag rugs in and one by one put them in my washer to spin them dry, and my washer just rocked back and forth. My dryer just tumbled and rumbled with these things, and they're sort of dry, but now they're draped all over my furniture. And so I have company coming, and my son from Oklahoma took his two grade school kids, are taking them out of school. They're leaving Wednesday and coming to my house, expecting to sleep in the basement with their sleeping bags on the floor, saving the beds for the rest of the family. Well, not possible. But, I thought, in all this disaster, I have multitudes of things to thank God for. I really do. How wonderful that Phyllis walked down there and discovered it. And how wonderful that Hubbard Hill will come. Finally, last night about 8 o'clock, the rope people came, and with a big machine here going through my garage down to my basement to suck the water out and remove the carpet pads, took them out and dumped them, picked up the carpet and rolled it back, and there are huge fans roaring all night long, and they will be roaring today and tomorrow. And he said he hopes he can get the thing back together by the weekend. So, it's a disaster, but I just have one thing after the other thing after the other to thank God for it. And you're invited. And don't think it's not a party, it's just come and have some birthday cake and see some pictures of my 90 years.
Dorothy, it is a party. And I would just add that this mom up front is our church's admission to your celebration and appreciation for your life and all that.
Things have been offering. I just wanted to share a little bit of reflection about the passage that I've noticed. Today's passage says, "They brought unto him all the diseases and all the possessed devils, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils." One thing I've noticed about this passage is the fact that the people who are most faithful in this context are also most perfect. And the people who are sick and demon possessed. And you look in the Old Testament, you see a similar trend. Look at the prophets like Jeremiah, or the book of the Lamentations. Or you look at the story of Job. It's the people who are really, truly in dire need and who are really experiencing brokenness and illness are also the most faithful people. phrases in the midst of some of most tragic and painful experiences. There's often this idea that we emphasize the healing power of Christ. We emphasize the miraculous healing. We don't recognize the fact that there's deep painfulness and there's deep faithfulness that are coming together as well. So we embrace the cheap discipleship often, where God just kind of magically groups things into a better way. And of course, in reality, there's a lot of God to be found along the way.
Thank you, Kevin. Mary McCord, for about 40 years now, I pray that the electronics of our world will be used in God's purpose. And we have to be asked to help at the bike shop about 9 months ago. I came across something online that was about bike riding, and it was called The Road of Life. And it spoke to my road of life, and it was very, I'm sorry, Scott, it was an analogy of what I'm feeling and have felt until this time. And it was about riding tandem. And in my life, I felt like I was riding tandem, and I was on the back of the bike, and my husband was in front, and we were having quite a bike ride. There were rough places, there were bends, there were curves that were a little bit pretty scary. There were some tight places that we weren't sure we could get through. But there was a beautiful scenery along the way, and there were people to see and things to share. And then my husband died, and I was alone, and I thought, am I going to ride that bike? It's a tandem bike. But I needed to go for a ride, and I wanted to see the countryside. So I got on that bike, and I went for a ride, and now I had to be in front. And it was even harder. There were rough places, and there were lonely times, and the scenery wasn't quite the same. We couldn't share the Buddha together. But I kept going, kept pedaling. And then, I don't know when, but sometime along there, somebody got on behind, and here it was Jesus got on the back of my bike. And he said, keep pedaling. And so we took a ride, and he had different ideas than I did, and he said, you can make that, that's okay, and he was reassuring, and we kept riding and having a wonderful time, seeing different things, meeting different people, and we went to different places, and it was very encouraging, and I don't know when it happened, but somehow along there, he said, let's change places, I'll get in front, and you go back, and now, he's leading that bike ride, and he knows how to go around those tight curves. It almost seems like he bends that bike. And he knows how to almost fly over rough places. And he reaches back when I get scared. He says, do not be afraid. I love you, and you are mine. And then we just keep going along to see the case. He says, you've got to quit caring too much. It's too heavy. Give things away. Give away love and joy and faith and service. And the road will be even easier, we'll meet more people, and the road will get lighter. And it is. And when I get tired, I think I just don't want to go any further. He says, he reaches back past my hand and says, pedal. Ellen has a song in response to our sharing now.
I think we should sing number 581 in the hymnal. 581. Bow my hand, O Father, and lead thou me, until my journey endeth eternally. Alone I will not wander one single day. Be thou my true companion, and with me stay.
a song for our journey. Others who would share? Dorothy's up here. Marie, and then we have Dorothy Cutrell up here.
Hi, this is Marie Troyer, and I would like to talk a little bit about the journey of the quilt you see up front. My friends and I named it Magenta Kaleidoscope Marble. And it's a stack and whack is what it is, so that doesn't really tell people a whole lot about it. It actually comes all the way from Hawaii, and it was made by Simon Gingrich's stepdaughter, Mary Beth Steuben. And she dropped it off here one time when she came to visit Simon. And so about 6 years ago is what I'm estimating that we started working on that quilt. And I'm think of all the old saints that worked on that quilt. Vi Coons was alive then and quilted, and Margaret Lehman, and I think even Margaret Berkey may have worked on that quilt. So it's come a long way. It's finally finished, and we're very happy about that. It will be sold at the relief sale on Saturday, and the sale begins, they auction the quilts at 8 a.m. is when it starts. And this quilt has been number 53, so I'm assuming it's going to be pretty early in the day when it will be sold. So if anyone's really interested in bidding on it, you may need to be there early. I hope we get a good price for it. And I also think of my own quilting journey. These days, I make mostly charity quilts, and they get quite expensive to make, and the quilting on them is usually quite expensive, but it's what God laid on my heart to do, and so that's what I try to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Marie, for your rich gift and those many hands which created this beauty.
This is Carrie Diener. Several of you people have asked about Sarah. And Sarah, I got an email this week, and she had a wonderful time in Brazil. The church was very receptive, and they made many friends, and so she's coming back. But she's had a good time, and while she's there, the interesting thing is they're Portuguese. And she had to talk through an interpreter. But anyway, she could speak in French and Spanish, so that helped.
Sarah is a daughter of this congregation, now working as the executive director of Christian Peacemaker Team. So we will hold Sarah in prayer today. Carrie's granddaughter, yes, thank you.
This is Dorothy Cutrell, and I wanted to thank Scott for his story about gardening, because gardening has been something very special to me all my life. But the thing that I really want to talk about is music. I really appreciate the music here at Prayer Street, and I've had in my life quite a bit of dealing with people with dementia. My husband died of dementia, and all through his illness, I sang to him, and I sang the hymns of the church, and he loved it. He would beat time, and the music always seemed to cheer him up. Now I have a sister who became very ill with an infection, and she has succumbed to dementia, and she is bedfast and not able to speak. But I just last week got a request from her husband for some kind of Mennonite singing. And my sister has been a Quaker all of her adult life. So the Quakers don't sing, and that's their loss. But Evie, my sister, remembered the hymns of her childhood in a Mennonite church, and he wanted this music so he could play it for her. I have a sister-in-law who is suffering from dementia, and my brother-in-law who visited her said Janet likes to sing, and he sent a picture of himself singing and with his head raised. He's not much of a singer, and Janet there smiling as she listened to this music. So I just wanted to emphasize the importance of music in life. And all through the years of that I have dealt with this kind of thing, the music has been very important. And one of the songs that I would really love to sing is the one that's on the opposite page from the Take Thou My Hand, and it's My Life Flows On, an endless song. And I love that song. So if you want to sing that, that'd be great.
I wonder, Ellen, if we can do that as our hymn of response. I want to allow some time for one more sharing, perhaps, before we close, and maybe we can use that as our hymn. I'm watching our time here just a little bit.
John Bender, this is a message for Carolyn. This service is for you, of sharing and wishing you well. But we sometime want to hear the sermon on dehydration.
So I would, okay, well, it looks like Gerald has a word, and then we'll wrap this portion up, and there'll also be time of sharing joys and concerns if there's a little more to say.
Gerald Schenck, the sermon title alone, Dehydration, the one we're not hearing, prompts me to a story I wanted to tell as briefly as I can. It's not a short story, but I'll tell it as briefly as I can. It was one of the early years in the conflict, the wars in the Balkans, where former Yugoslavia was being torn apart. And I had volunteered to John Lapp at Mennonite Central Committee that I wanted to go and see what was going on with the church people on the ground in the middle of this war. The war was here and there and a lot of places, but everybody, even nearby, was shattered. And so one hot August week, I took off and flew to Munich where I could rent a car. Wasn't allowed to take this car into Serbia, but I went anyway. And without proper insurance and coverage and without the way to get fuel for this car, I was really going at extreme uncertainties and risks to see what is going on with the Christians in the middle of this war zone. And by God's grace, I found what I was looking for, people on the ground who were learning how to address the wounds of war, meet the refugees, bind up the brokenhearted, and they were giving everything they had, but they had given it all. They didn't have anything left to give. And I said, God's people will help. They said, nobody will help us. The whole world hates the Serbs right now. And it's true, on CNN and everywhere else, they were the monsters of the moment. But I was sure that our people would respond. And as soon as I got back into territory where phones worked, I put in a call to Hans-Uli Gerber, who was able to start mobilizing with the Mennonites in Europe truckloads of help for meeting the refugees in Serbia. So in that sense, it was a very effective and fruitful and timely moment to be there. But my experience of it was anguished and agonized. I had to push this little rental car for lack of fuel for the last 5 kilometers going to the border. It was stop and go anyway, but I didn't have fuel to make the car work, so I was pushing it. And there was no water. This was a side entry point where no services were available. You couldn't buy fuel. You couldn't find water. It was desperate. So when I hear the word dehydration, just the word itself takes me back to this anguished August, pushing a car 5 kilometers to the border to get out and do the messaging that I was sent to do. And along the way, I found myself just yelling at God, why? Why do I have to care about these people? It's a horrible situation, and they're doing horrible, wicked things to each other. And there's nothing safe about being here. Why do I have to care about this? And in the silence that comes back after you yell at God, I heard a very clear word. It's because I care. Mm-hmm. So the very term dehydration takes me right back to that moment. God cares about these broken and wounded and often wicked people who are doing such horrible things to each other. And because God cares, we have to care too.
Thank you, Gerald. And this time of sharing and this congregation has been a spring of living water and continues to be a spring of living water in the face of the dehydration of the world. And now to close this time of sharing together, I invite you to take your blue hymnals and turn to the reading at the back. It's number 817 from Psalm 46, which is one of the texts for the day. In the reading, there is light and dark print. I will invite you to read all of the print. I will read some preceding verses and then indicate for you to join with verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord. That's page 817 in the blue hymnal. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Together, come. Behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes forests cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and the shadow of the shatters the spear. He makes the earth the shield for fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen.
So we'll sing number 580 in the blue hymnal as Dorothy suggested. 580. 580. Please rise in body or in spirit.
Thank you.
Turn to number 427. 427. Please rise in body or in spirit.
Concludes his letter to the Philippians, gives us words of blessing for us. So hear these words of Paul for you this week as your blessing. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace, the shalom of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Go forth in this amazing and abundant peace. Amen.